Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Afterward, I heard how awesome this talk was. And as I was, and this was last fall, and as I was praying about the calendar for the year, what we should do, and I especially kind of look at different holidays, I just felt like for Mother's Day, this was a message that we needed to hear, and coming from one of our very own. She is a chaplain at the Wyoming Medical Center. She also runs our small groups, recruits group leaders, heads up our Connect Group ministry. And so it is my joy to welcome to the platform this morning, Sunny Bray. Would you welcome Sunny this morning?
Okay. I have arthritis.
All right.
Good morning. Wow. Thank you for that warm welcome. And I was going to remind you, if you weren't here last week, that message that Craig gave on giving and the joy of giving was powerful. So make sure you watch that. And also, I want to thank him for taking us through When Prophets Die series. So if you miss that and you want to get encouraged, please go to the app or the website or YouTube or whatever and get plugged in and watch those messages, because they were extremely powerful and encouraging. So thank you, Pastor Craig. And thank you for that warm welcome this morning. And for all of you online, I welcome you and happy Mother's Day. And like Craig said, I'm going to talk about Proverbs 31. Now, before you start sighing, you feel overwhelmed, my job here today is bring you encouragement through this word. You might find some new insights. That's my hope for you today. My job today is to build you up in Christ. I want you to hear new things. And men, don't tune out. Because the first nine verses in Proverbs 31 is the Proverbs 31 man. So you can go home tonight and review that with your wife. He's amazing. But the Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, are written by a man, not just any man. He was a king. His name is King Lemuel. Now, there's nowhere in history that historians can find this king. They think it's actually King Solomon, which would make sense, right? As he wrote so much of the book of Proverbs, he's so full of wisdom. And so, as they believe it's King Solomon, so does Hebrew legend. And while the Proverbs 31 woman may be intimidating, how many of you feel intimidated by her? I hope that she is not, because she is a woman after God's heart. And if you're here today, I know you are a woman after God's heart. So let me encourage you. So picture this. There's this king. His whole life, he has been raised up, trained up to take over a kingdom from a little boy. He's learned about his responsibilities and his purpose. And his mom, being a godly woman, and that's what this proverb tells us, that this king writes the wisdom down that his mother gave him. Like you mothers in this room, you share your wisdom with your sons and with your daughters, so that they will choose well. They will live a fruitful and prosperous life. Now, the Proverbs woman is not the perfect woman, nor is she married. Remember, he's looking for a wife. These are virtues that Christ is raising in us before we get married. And sometimes during marriage, and oftentimes when we're having children, right? Because God is constantly refining us. So this woman is not the perfect woman, but she is the perfect, imperfect woman for that perfect, imperfect man that God brings her. Does that encourage you? Yeah, so we can rest. I don't have to be perfect. Only Christ is perfect. And if she is single and remains single, she still is going to be a Proverbs 31 woman as she sows into the God's principles, as she meets her Lord in prayer and devotion. She has his qualities. She is made in his image. For the Lord is her Savior, and she loves him. And he delights in her. I hope that you know women. I hope you know every woman, every young woman in this room today, that God delights in you. He thinks you're wonderful right where you're at. Doesn't matter what we've done. If we are in Christ, you are renewed, restored, made holy and precious. So I hope that encourages you. Now, here's that king, right? Let's go back to him. He's sitting there, feather in hand, ink and papyrus in front of him, and he's pondering the things his mother has taught him. Now, it's a proverb, but this is also a poem. Even though Proverbs are filled with wisdom, the Proverbs 31 woman is in Proverbs. Even though it's poem, he has written an acrostic. Each letter of the alphabet, it begins each sentence. And this king reflects on the things God would want for him, the things his mother has trained him, what to look for. And so he takes to it. Men, I hope you, married or non-married, excuse me, look for a godly woman because it's about her character. Those are the things that last. So as we ponder what God should bring us, what we're asking for, I hope that you are praying for her, praying for what he will bring you. But if you're married, it's your job to pray for your wife, to pray over her, wash her in the word. We are always being refined, always being renewed. So he's thinking about these things. And Genesis 2:18 says, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a suitable helper. Now this king, you know these things, for we have taught. And so the first sentence he writes, he says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. So the first thing that kind of jumps out there is that word noble. She's a woman of noble character. And in fact, the word wife right there in the original text, it says woman. She's a woman of noble character. But what is noble? Nobility is to belong to a hereditary, you have an inheritance. It's hereditary. You've been given a position. And guess what? Are we not sons of the living God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords? Yes. So you too have an inheritance. You too belong to a royal priesthood, a kingdom that we get to represent our king here on earth. Now to have noble character, also, not only is it a position, but it means that she has character such as she's honest, caring, generous. She's full of wisdom and grace. These are qualities that can be trusted. These are qualities that she's learned from her God as she sat with him, as she's walked with him, and as she's learned how to receive from him because she wants to be like him. So a wife of noble character, who can find? That's a question. He doesn't know where do I find it, but I know this is what I want. She is worth far more than rubies. Far more. She is of value. She is worth more than rubies. The ruby is the king's gem. Today we think diamonds, but then the king's crowns, they had giant rubies. The ruby was the most precious stone. So he's thinking of all the things he owns. He has a kingdom. And he goes to the ruby. She is worth far more than my precious crown, the gem that's in my crown. In fact, Proverbs 12:4 says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay to his bones. She is his crown. And what makes the man is his crown. So his life is going to be richer, more valuable, more delightful because he has this woman, not just any woman, a godly woman by his side. Her husband has full confidence in her. She lacks nothing of value. Confidence. It says full confidence, complete, total. How can he have full confidence in her? Because he knows what? Her character. It's her character that he knows is Christ-like. Remember? She's caring, honest, generous, full of wisdom and grace and courage. She lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. That's powerful. What does this mean? This means she's not going to talk down to her husband. She's not going to disgrace him in public or her household. As he trusts her, as she is godly, keeps her eyes on the Lord, she is not. He has a confidence that she is going to bring him good, not harm, all the days of his life. In other words, what? She's going to partner with him. She's going to be the one that he knows is a gift from God. And they will grow together. Now, the Hebrew text puts it like this, and I love this. This is where it says, her husband has full confidence in her. Listen to this. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. How beautiful is that? His heart trusts her. And he has no lack of gain. Her value. You see, there's an inherent value into being a child of God. He's a child of God. She's a child of God. There's something special. Increases our value. Not that we lord it over one another. Not that we're any better. But that value is that we belong to our Creator, our Lord, our Master. And he sees that in her. Because remember, he's searching far and wide for a woman that exhibits these qualities. And because of her value, she is his crown. Do you see that connection? And she honors him, and she respects him, and speaks highly of him. And she is diligent. I'm going to take you to verse 27. Here it says, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Remember, married or unmarried, she's unmarried. She's watching over the affairs of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness because she's diligent. She takes care and responsibility. She has stewardship over the things God has entrusted her with. And she does not eat the bread of idleness. Proverbs 13:4 says, a soul of the lazy man desires, and he has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. How are we rich? We're made rich in Christ. I remember going to the bank one time. I had a mess there. And I got a negative something. I was probably about 19 or 20. I go there. And I told the lady, well, I might be poor on paper, but I'm rich in the Lord. She just looks at me. And I said, I'm one of the richest women you'll ever meet. We have to know. We have a value. He's given it to us. Nothing we can earn. It's a free gift. So those that are in Christ are rich because of the love, the joy, and the peace, and the faith we get to walk in our Lord and Savior. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Christ Jesus, and give thanks to the Father. And this is this woman. This is what she does. She is in Christ, and whatever she does, and we're going to look at all these things that you've learned that what she does, but remember, it's not about what she does. It's not about your works, lady, right? Your works come out of the fruit of your life, out of your love for Christ, but it's about the character, the things that motivate her, that which motivates her. And so it says, she's on verse 13, back to the top. Verse 13 says she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Now, wool and flax were the textiles of the day, used to make the best linens, the best cloth, the best sashes, the best garments. She is looking for the best because she knows her God wants only the best for her. And that original word says, not select, but seeks. she goes and she's seeking, she's looking, searching out the best things that God would have for her to bring them back to her household. She works with eager hands. Again, the original text says willing hands. Work isn't laborious for her. It's not a duty. It's not something she hates. She's not feeling woe about it. She delights in it. Because as she delights in that, it shows that she's delighting in her Lord. And everything she does is for his glory, to bring light onto him. Right? As we are to reflect his goodness, his strength, so that people are drawn to us. Drawn to us like moths to a flame. And that's what she does. And that's why this man, he's writing, I want her. I'm looking for her. Where am I going to find her? And he gets all these qualities down because he's going to find a woman that is God's reflection, is made in his image. So she gets up while it's still night and provides food for her family. In Matthew 1:35, Jesus wakes up early while it's still night and prays. That's what the Gospels tell us. They tell us that he gets up early to pray. I can only imagine that's why this woman is getting up early. Up before everyone else so she can be prayed up, geared up, ready for the day. And it says she provides food for her family. The original text says she provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. See, it's not just about her or her immediate ones she's supposed to tend to, but even her maidservants, her maidens. She extends her generosity, her kindness. She is thinking of others outside that immediate family. And I love that, a portion for them. She is active in plans for the future. I like to say she's the first prepper. Right, ladies? This woman preps. She is prepared. And we're going to see all the ways she does that. But she is trusting God, preparing, listening to him, partnering with Christ, and preparing for her household. She sets about her work vigorously, verse 17. Her arms are strong for the task. I was like, what does that even mean? I mean, what does that really mean? And so in the study, I found out that it says she, when King Solomon wrote this, it says she girdeth her loins for strength. I'm like, okay, that's even worse. I have no idea what that means. But let me tell you what it means. This is when, so this is a vision. Remember, this is poetic language. So he's writing, he's picturing her. This is what men did in the battlefield. They would take their tunics and they pull it between their legs and then gird it up under their belts, under their sashes, under their girdle. And it gave them more freedom to move around. It was a position of readiness, got them prepared for the work ahead, for the fight ahead. And that's what this is the language this king uses. She's ready, she's prepared. And Peter uses the same language in 1 Peter. And he uses it as it prepares your mind for action. Gird up your loins, prepare for action. In other words, be prepared to follow Christ. She is a woman that's prepared to follow Christ, and she's not afraid of hard work. A godly man is not looking for a weak woman. He's looking for a strong one, one that's physically and spiritually strong. She's not weak or sickly. After all, she's going to bear his children. She's going to partner with him, and she's going to help support the family, her community, her church, and him. Ladies, our strength, our confidence comes from the Lord with a readiness, a preparedness, and a willing spirit. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. Again, this is poetic imagery. Yes, it's true. The women did that. That's why she selected her wool and her flax. That's what they used to make yarn. And these are tools to make yarn. But it is an image of diligence, hard work, industry. This is poetic language, and it speaks to her patience and commitment to Christ. And the man that is seeking her is looking for these qualities. And the, after all, she's a daughter of the living God. And she's not going to let anything distract her. She's not. She's focused. The work of her hands are skilled and blessed. One writer writes something like this. Her hands are used for more than carrying a diamond, a pretty ring, and a pretty manicure. They are for more than holding while we walk in the park. She uses her hands to bring glory to her God, to take care of the things that he's entrusted her with. She's also wise with money, and she makes wise choices. She is a good steward. She is like a merchant ship, bringing from food from afar. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sees that her trade is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. She's like a merchant ship. What does that mean? Well, the merchant ships what? Bring goods from afar, provisions for the family to one place, and that's where she goes. She's like them. She will go the distance, go whatever she has to do to bring the find the best goods for the best price. She's not frivolous. Convenience? Yeah. You pay a lot more for convenience, but she is like the merchant ships and brings food from afar. She considers a field and buys it. Considers. She's thoughtful. Should I? Should I not? I ponder this. Is this what we do? She considers it and buys it, and she has confidence that she's going to make good decisions. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Again, able to save, good with money. Out of her earnings, the things that she brings to the table, maybe she gets an allowance, but out of that, she's able to save. Maybe she's making her own money, which we see she is, right? She goes and she trades with the merchants. She sees her trade as profitable, right? Not making the first deal. She's like, is this wise? Is this good? Should I do this? Her lamp does not go out at night. She's the last one to go to bed because she watches over the things of her household to assure that everything's in place, to assure that everything is cared for and tended to her too, because she cares. So she is like a night watchman. Does she sleep? Of course she does. We know because it tells us she wakes up early. She is compassionate and generous, full of mercy. She opens her arms to the poor. Opens her arms. Picture that. She willingly gives. We just had the opportunity to make a faith promise. She willingly gives. And a faith promise is not out of abundance. And I'm going to assume this woman, too, she gives because she sees there's a need, because she's able, but she's also trusting that the Lord is going to provide. She extends her hand to the needy. There's no judgment there. She's not looking down. She's like, I can make a difference. My God takes care of me. I, too, can help. All her attributes, all these things she does is a reflection of who God is in her, just like he is in us. I look around this room today and I see and know so many of you. We have so many amazing Proverbs 31 women in this room. You're wise and diligent. You work hard. You do it with love and joy. And you extend your hand. Our church gives more than any other church in Wyoming to missions because we know him. Because he moves the heart. He allows us to give freely. So I want to thank you for that. Thank you for that. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. Again, the things that she's done, that wool, that flax, and making that yarn, she's making things and she's selling them. She finds a way. But look at here, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's saying, thank you for trading with me. Thank you. Because we have that good relationship. Keeping that good relationship. As I am then blessed by you, I want you to be blessed by me. She makes those. Our God is described nearly 24 times in the word as being compassionate. 9 of those times it says, God is gracious and compassionate. slow to anger, abounding in love. Out of love, she gives. Love for people because she loves the Lord. Love because she understands what love is, and she knows that love is an action, and she puts her faith into action. Our God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. She is charitable and loving, just like her Father in heaven that gave his one and only Son as a sacrifice. God is so generous to us. How are we responding to his generosity, his love, his mercy, his grace? Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Can I read that again? Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Oh, generosity matters. And this man is looking for a woman that is generous, not selfish. Because if you're generous to others, what does that mean? You're going to be generous to your husband, right? That's what he's looking for. And she trusts God. When it snows, and it snows here in Wyoming, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for they are clothed in scarlet. She trusts the Lord. She has no fear. Remember, she's been preparing. She knows. Not only has she been preparing, but she knows God is Jehovah Jireh. He's going to provide for her. She's done everything she can, including prayer, that prays protection over her household. She has no fear. For all of them are clothed in scarlet. Now, scarlet garments were one of the most expensive garments because the dye lasted and they looked beautiful. But scarlet is also the color of the blood of Jesus. She says, for all of them are clothed in it. She knows they're covered by her prayers for her family. She doesn't worry because she knows they belong to the Lord. John, 1 John 1:7 reminds us that Jesus' blood washes us clean. He cleanses us and protects us. No wonder she has no fear. She has sown richly. And she makes coverings for her bed, verse 22, and is clothed in fine linen and purple. Remember, this is a man writing this. He says he makes covering for her bed. That is the marital bed. The marital bed is a sacred place, a place of expression of mutual love between a man and a woman, between husband and wife. It's a place of security. It's a place of intimacy, a place that husband and wife get reacquainted. And here he says, she is covered in fine linen. It doesn't say she clothes herself. So he knows he has clothed her. And look at this, fine linen. He's given her the best. And purple. Purple is the color of royalty. The writer sees her as his queen, as his princess. That valuable woman. More precious than rubies. And clothed in purple. That says a lot about how he views his wife. And she the same as she has prepared that room for him. And 1 Corinthians 7 tells us the wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields to her husband. Now watch this. In the same way, her husband does not have authority over her, over his own body, but yields to his wife. That place is a mutual place of love and respect, of safety and security. And she marries well. Verse 23, her husband is respected at the city gates, where he takes the seat among the elders. A godly woman should be married to a godly man, and a godly man should be married to a godly woman. We can't be unevenly yoked. This is a reminder that her husband, a godly woman, is going to have a husband that's respected. And here, the city gates is a place where men came together to make laws and take their place. It's a place in the center of town where trade was. This is a popular place, a window of blessing for a man, a position. And so he's respected there. Proverbs 18:22 says, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing, and he obtains favor with the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? But remember, Paul also tells us what? Some of us will be single, and that's a good place to be as well, for the Lord has a position for each of us. But what's important in that, whether we're single or married, is that who we are in Christ. Do we reflect his ways, his value? Do we understand that we have a position in him because we're supposed to represent his kingdom? I want to encourage you, if you are not married, to take notes, to take note of what God is saying and make a list like he did. It could be a poetic list like this. What do you need? What do you want? What do you desire? I did that once. I led a group of women. We all did this. Said, put 10 things, 10 pertinent things. I had about 17. I did. But that was my list. It was like things I'm not going to compromise on. And God gave me everything on that list and more. Because he gave me the things that I knew were frivolous, that I shouldn't put on there, because I was looking for things that made a godly man. And I'm so blessed. But God, in all his goodness, he knew. And he brought me Doug, and I'm thankful for him. And so he can do it for you. He wants to know. And again, if you're married, it's just, we're all being refined. Maybe you're looking at your marriage today, you're feeling, I'm still not. It's a process. Sanctification is a process. And every day we get to, his mercies are new every morning, and we get to wake up every day and start fresh. And we can commit ourselves to Christ. And you, as husband and wife, can come together and say, where can we grow together in Christ? Because remember, the two are one now. Where can we grow together? Where does he want to refine us? How does he want to use our marriage? Verse 25 says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Strength and dignity. She's clothed in it. Means she's clothed in Christ. That's where her strength and dignity comes from, because of that character. She casts her cares onto Jesus, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's how she can laugh at the days to come and not fear about tomorrow. She and her household are covered with his blood and confidence, security through her relationship in Christ. Remember, our confidence is in Jesus because of our intimate relationship with him. Jesus is always there. You can be more intimate with him than you ever have at any given time. You can approach his throne of grace anytime and know that he wants more of you. And then we can pray, more of you, Lord, less of me. And that's how we get clothed, and people recognize that strength and that dignity, and we can laugh at the days to come. Psalm 28, verse 7 and 8 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with a song, I praise him. Our life should be a song to him. Like I said, she's doing it with joy. It's her character. And as we look at the next verse, this woman knows God's word, for it says, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction are on her tongues. The original language says, the law of kindness is on her tongue. Oh, the wisdom. Where does the wisdom come from? The word. This woman definitely knows the Proverbs. She knows the Psalms. She is living this. She has an intimate relationship. And by remaining in God, she knows that she is covered and she can trust him. And out of what? The wealth of her life and out of her relationship, wisdom will come. Overflowing wisdom. Think about the men and women in this church. Who do you go to in your time of need? I hope you're seeking wise counsel. I hope that you're looking to certain women and men in this church and saying, I need wisdom right now. Because there are so many of us here today that have that kind of wisdom, because we have sown a life diligently with the one we love, our Lord. Her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Now, this one has always stung me. I have no children. So I'm like, Lord, her children arise and call her blessed. Does it have to be your own children that recognize your beauty, the Christ in you? If you are without children today, or you've lost children, or you're unable to have them, don't stumble here. Her children called her blessed, but don't others call you blessed? I have a niece who's been married, I think, now 15 years. She was a terrible pick. She couldn't pick a man. Ugh. She was young, though, you know, joined the Lord, but loved the Lord. And one day she came to me and she said, I'm so done. I can't do this anymore. I picked the worst guys. So I finally realized, I want a man like Uncle Doug. I want a nerd. I'm like, what? She's like, no, I mean, he's like such a nerd, and he loves the Lord so much. I want a guy like that. And I said, then you pray for a guy like that. I am so happy, because we have been praying for you for years that you would desire a godly man. And boy, did God bring her a godly, nerdiest, cutest. I call him Beauty and the Geek. She is gorgeous, and he is a programmer. Actually, he does quality assurance, I think. And they are the cutest. But he is so godly, and you know what? That man would move heaven and earth for her. We know, we love him, and we embraced him, and she is so blessed to find him. And he was a little bit older, and he was getting discouraged, because he was raised also to look for a godly woman. He had his eye on Tuesday, though. And let me tell you, he won her over with patience and prayer, much like Pastor Craig and Rebecca. Right? So we don't know who's watching us. We don't know who's watching us, but they're watching, as they should, as they should. And her husband praises her. We should be praised by our husband. And men, if you're not praising your wife, find something to praise. And women, if you're not praising your husband, find one thing. Surely there's one thing. Focus on that. We're so eager to focus on the negative, right? But let's not. Let's change it up today and say, I'm not going to look at that. Because those who have been forgiven much, forgive much. So many opportunities to forgive. That's godly character. So many opportunities to forgive one another. As Colossians reminds us. So, the woman, okay, we're on 29. Here we go. The woman abides in Christ. Many women do noble things. In fact, the word there, instead of woman, it says daughters. Many daughters. Daughters of who? Daughters of women, of course. Daughters of man, of course. But I'm saying daughters of living God, of the living God, God, our King, our Lord Jesus. So many women, so many daughters do noble things. He says, but you surpass them all. Now that's a man who loves his wife. Your husband should have eyes only for you, and he should think you're the greatest, only for you. She surpasses them all. You hear that, guys? Don't be looking. Get discontent in your heart. I wish my wife was more like her. No. He's saying he's looked and he's searched and he says she surpasses on eyes for one woman. Build her up. Build her up in your heart and mind, right? This is where the devil gets us, right here. It's this, the mind. We got to take every thought captive. We got to look for the beauty in all things. And so it's about her character, not her works, as we've looked at today. It's also about women allowing his light to shine in us so that we attract the world to Christ. That's it. We are to reflect him so we attract the world to Christ for his good, for his glory, to bring him honor. And so we are supposed to be salt and light, seasoned and fragranced, covered and clothed in righteousness, because we are heirs to his throne. If nothing else, we should be excited just that we have a Father in heaven who loves us, that has received us while we were his enemy. This woman knows that. That's why her life is rich and full. She's not feeling disappointed or let down. She's let so many down because she will. Remember, she's the perfect, imperfect woman. Perfection should not be our goal, but to be built up in the things of Christ. Hearers and doers of the word. Not to bring ourselves glory, but to bring God glory. So that when we say, I have a saying, I'm going to take as many with me. When I die, I'm going to take as many with me. That's my goal. I want to bring many imperfect people with me, covered by the blood of Jesus, with me when I die. So when I get to heaven, I know more people came to know him because of what he has done in my life. Not me. Like Paul, I'm the least of these. I've committed every sin there is. You name it. Pretty much I've done it. Right? And I cover and walk with him, and I know his forgiveness and his goodness. And that's all I want for this life, is to take as many with me. And so charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but the woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Catch that, men? Ladies? We're not going to woo him with our beauty. That's not. Because what does it say? Charm is deceptive. It's a lure. It's a lie. Yes, can we be charming? Absolutely. We are charming. And we're gorgeous in him. But that's not what it's saying. It says, don't use those things. Men, be careful. Don't let that wow you. Look and see. Does she know the Lord? Does he know the Lord? Are we evil and yoked? Do we have the same goals? Do we have the same king? Right? And that's what it's saying. It's because for millennium, women have been doing that, and marriages that aren't set upon the rock, that aren't built in Christ, that the third strand is not Jesus, they fail. Marriages fail in the church too, because when we take our eyes off the Lord, that's why they fail. We put ourselves back on the throne. But I'm going to give grace to my husband every day because he gives more grace to me than I could tell you. And that's what we're supposed to do, because we are supposed to keep our eyes on him. So our beauty, should we take care of ourselves? Yes, we should. It's not what we're saying. We're saying don't let that be the focus of your life. We have a multi-billion dollar industry on beauty because women don't know there's an inherent value because they're created in God's image and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not only made, the word says you are fashioned. Man is made. We are fashioned. That's what it says. Oh, you're so beautiful. You are so beautifully created for his purpose. And when you know him, let that shine through. Let your confidence come from him. Let your confidence come from him. Because people should be drawn to our inner beauty, be drawn to Christ in us. Before I was married and I had my list of 17 things, and I date a lot of handsome hunks, I'll just tell you. Not a lot, but I had a few. Not a lot. I had one boyfriend for like 15 years. That tells you, kind of narrows down the. But let me tell you, I was cute. I had a figure. I was like a lot of things, like so many little beach California beach girls are, strutting around in my bikini and roller skates. I don't advise that anymore, the things we learn in wisdom. But anyway, and so as I made this list, and I picked like my niece Tuesday, oh gosh, did I pick losers? Praise the Lord, he protect me. The ones I wanted to be married to, thank you, Jesus. I'm not, how many of you can say that? You are not married to the person you once wished you were. Hallelujah. But for real. So God did this. Put in my heart. Lord, I'm 36 at this time. I mean, I've already, me and my best friends, we already said, if we're not married by the time we're 50, we're going to all live together in a commune, the three girls, because we love the Lord, and we'll just serve him, we'll do missions, we'll do all kinds of things. But I said to the Lord, please, don't let my Jesus in me, don't let my Holy Spirit in me miss the man you have for me. Let my Jesus be attracted to his Jesus. That was my prayer. That's all I wanted, because I didn't want to miss, Lord, don't let me worry about how he's packaged, because I had an idea. And 5 years before this prayer, the pastor came to me and said, what about Doug Bray? Doug Bray? That guy never talks, and he's half my size. No, thank you. But he instilled in me, and he told me all these godly things he was, and I thought, that's intriguing. Note, good for somebody else, not good for me. Great guy for somebody else, not good for me. And 5 years later, as I've grown and matured and prayed that prayer and had my list, Lord, don't let my Jesus miss his Jesus, because everything else is going to fade. That's it. Everything else is going to fade, and the thing that'll last will be Jesus. And so I thank God for that. And so Timothy says to us, I also want the woman to be dressed modestly, with decency and propriety, adorn themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. That's all he wants. Are we appropriate as we come to worship God? Are we serving him with humility and strength and modesty and delight, right? So finally, it says, verse 31, honor her for all that her hands have done. But Sunny, you told me that it's not about what she's done. You said it's about her character. And now you're saying I'm supposed to praise her for what she's done. Well, back to the original text. What does it say? Give her the fruit of her hands. It's the fruit of her hands that we're praising. It's how God has worked in her to bring a life that points us to him. It's the fruit of her labor. And Psalms 128, verse 2 says, you will eat the fruit of your labors, and you will be blessed. And it should go well with you. We are acknowledging her for a life committed to Christ, because the things she does reflects him. The things she does draws our attention. Aren't those things to admire? Isn't there someone here today that you're, when we're reading through this, hopefully, men, you're looking and saying, that's my wife. But women, we look to other women and we say, oh, I love that woman. She's so full of grace, so full of love. She accepts me right where I'm at. There's no judgment. She looks at me and she sees that I am a daughter of God. And she lifts me up. And that's what she does. So just like Jesus, the Proverbs 31 woman is so many things. She seeks him in everything she does. And she trusts God wholeheartedly. She has a heart and a reverence that overflows into the life of spiritual maturity and wisdom. She is not born this way. None of us are. Right? We all fall short of the glory of God. But she knows that Jesus is her example. And she knows that she is going to be refined, pruned, grown up, built up in him as she commits her plans to him. And she also knows that she's going to fail. But she gives herself grace and allows the Lord to cover her in grace, because she knows no one is brought to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, as Philippians 1:6 tells us. But her desire is to please the Lord. And so, ladies, if you are in Christ today, I want you to stand. If you are in Christ today, please stand. And remain standing, please. If you are not standing, but you want a deeper relationship with Christ, I want you to stand. If your confidence comes from Jesus, ladies, I want you to stand. And you women, I'm going to ask you to be a little bit bold here today, but I want to pray a blessing on you. I believe in unity. I believe the closer we get together and we can touch one another and speak into each other's life is so important. So if your confidence is in Christ, if you're standing today, I want you to come right up here with me. Come right up to the front with me. All of you beautiful daughters that are standing, don't be shy. This is a moment where we get to embrace one another. Say, I am proud of you. I love you. You are my sister. You are my friend. I recognize you as a daughter of God. And together, we're going to make a difference. If you're still sitting and you're a woman, I want you to look up here. Come up closer, ladies. Everybody's coming up. This is what I'm so thankful right now. Thank you for your courage. Right? We're talking about courage and wisdom. If you are a woman here today and you're still in your seat, I want you to look up here at these women. If there is one woman you know here that you admire, I want you to come up to her right now that you see as a God. So I'm going to pray for us. And I want us to hold hands. And I want you to look at your neighbor, whether you know her or not. And tell her, you are beautiful. Look at her. Beautiful. You radiate Jesus. That's right. You tell her. Tell her. That's what we want. Look at us. This is a body. This is what Jesus wants for us. This is community. This is the city gate. This is where she's going to be praised. That's what the word tells. Come to the city. What's at the city gate? The church. This is where the affirmation comes. And here we are. Let her be praised for the fruit of her hands. Let her know she is loved, that she has a friend, a woman that we can turn to. Look around. If you don't know everybody today, look at familiar faces, because any one of us, we can turn to one another. And I just want to pray that for us. We have an opportunity to do in 2 weeks a refresh right here. It's a time where women come and we build one another up. I see a lot of you that have never been. Guess what? We got childcare there this time. We want you to come. Okay? So sign up. We're going to take care of your babies. You come. Get encouraged. Get loved on. Who needs love? Who needs love? That's right. Father God, I thank you for this group of women. This is your church. These are your daughters. Daughters who, I know, feel anxieties at times, feel like we don't measure up, like we have to compete with the world, like we hurt, we feel not understood, sometimes we feel lonely, not where to go. But Lord, right now, as we are bonded together in perfect unity, your word tells us that love binds us together in perfect unity. There's a unity here because we are your daughters. I pray life. I pray hope. I pray love over them. I thank you for their hearts. And Lord, when the enemy wants to creep in and tell them a lie, I ask that they proclaim that they are a daughter of the living God and they are a gem in your crown and you delight in them. Let them know you delight in them. They're forgiven. We don't have to remember the past. He says, remember my sins no more. You are forgotten. You are forgiven, not forgotten. You are loved and lifted up. And today I lift you up as women of Radius Church, that we would make a difference in this place, in our home, and in our community. Not for ourselves, but for the one that loves us first. Let us take as many with us. If each of us took one person, introduced them to you. And they took one person, and they took one person. They say the whole world could be discipled in 7 years. Thank you, Lord, for being right here in the midst. Thank you for this opportunity to lean upon every woman. I praise you. In Jesus' name.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.